Have you ever wanted to solve a murder, gather all the clues that the police may have overlooked, but put all the pieces together to identify the suspect or maybe the real killer? Well, journalist Billy Jensen has spent the last 15 years investigating unsolved murders, and he's written a book which is called Chase Darkness With Me, and he joins me right now on the phone. Billy Jensen, good morning where you are. Nice to hear from you and talk to you.
Thanks so much for taking time to talk to me.
Ah, delighted. Would you believe it? I'm Irish, and I have there's a murder that happened back in 1996 in Ireland, the death of a French filmmaker called Sophie Toscan de Plantier, and she was killed in County Cork. Are you familiar with that?
I do not believe I'm familiar with that.
Okay,
particular one.
You look that up because it's unsolved. And there is a prime suspect, and that prime suspect I've written a book. Sorry, I've read a book about this only just recently. And when I finished it, I thought, wow, I would love to know what happened here, because the police investigation was flawed at best. The DPP, which is like the state attorney, the Irish attorney, said, look, there's no charge should be ever issued here. But yet the man was actually prosecuted and sentenced in a Paris courthouse without being there. So I at this moment in time, freshly from reading that book, I know what it's like to want to solve a murder. And it's not the first one of those that I have read. How did you first come across the idea of solving a murder as a non-police person?
Well, you know, as a journalist and as someone that was, you know, I gravitated towards wanting to write about unsolved crimes. So I did that for 15 years, and you always were trying to, you know, you're telling a story, but you always did want to solve one. Mm-hmm. But the issue is you're writing a story with no ending. You know, no matter how good of a writer you are, your story really isn't going to have an ending. Mm. And eventually I sort of got, you know, fed up with that and figured out a way of how to use social media and geo-targeted Facebook ads and Twitter ads and using Instagram in order to identify criminals and identify murderers. And that's the way that I was able to either solve them myself or working with police departments and help solve 10 murders.
But
so, you know, and it's a technique that can also be used for missing persons and other crimes. But if I have a good piece of, you know, if the police have put out a video or a sketch of somebody and then it's been a month and they still haven't ID'd them, that's usually where I will kind of come in and say, let me try to do my system and see if it works. Sometimes it does.
Can you talk us through your system? Can you give us an example of maybe one that you said, okay, this is what I did?
Yes. So the first case I could talk about, it was a video of a man who was attacked on a street in Chicago. And a guy attacks him. He knocks him out cold in a crosswalk. And then a cab runs over him and kills him.
Oh, right.
I only had video of him. It'd been 3 months later. The police, you know, they had done press conferences and everything. But we had video of him, and it looked pretty strong video. And I was wondering why this guy hasn't been caught. Mm-hmm. And I was realizing it was because nobody's listening or watching traditional media anymore. So what I did was I set up a Twitter page, set up a Facebook page, and I geo-targeted ads. I bought ads just for that area, trying to identify this person.
Whoa.
After, on Twitter, after a couple days, somebody sent me a picture of him, and it was a front-facing photo, and I was amazed. I thought maybe they mocked it up or something, and then it turns out the next day they sent me a video, and it was a video of the victim on the sidewalk, on the crosswalk right before he's run over, and then the camera swings up, and then it shows the puncher, the man that killed him. And now I had a front-facing picture of him from somebody that was there. I was able then to take that, look at all of the mugshots that were in the Cook County, actually puts their mugshots up on the internet, and I was able to narrow it down, find the person, and send that to the police.
That's incredible. And what was their reaction to you arriving with this information?
The reaction from it varies. Their reaction was thank you. And right. then they didn't do anything for 4 months. And then I kept on having to press them and show them where this individual actually was. And they finally went and picked him up. Sometimes I work, you know, if I get a specific police officer who really says, wow, this can work, I can work hand in hand with them. And we're able to either catch a fugitive. I talk about in the book, you know, working on catching a fugitive in Mexico. And, you know, that's when it really works good. But sometimes, you know, listen, nobody wants to have somebody come in and try and, you know, do their job for them. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, we're trying to get justice for these victims and these victims' families.
Talk to me about your friend Michelle McNamara, please.
Yeah, so Michelle was a friend of mine. She was working on a book on the Golden State Killer, and who had committed a series of rapes and murders in California in the late 70s and 80s. She, while she was working on this book, which was going to be an incredible book, she passed away suddenly. And I, with her researcher, Paul Haynes, and her husband, Patton Oswalt, I started, I helped finish the book.
Okay.
So the book came out, and it's called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. The book came out in February. They ended up catching the Golden State Killer as a guy named Joseph DeAngelo, as a former police officer, 2 months later. And that's since been the subject of a HBO miniseries called I'll Be Gone in the Dark as well.
That's like incredible stuff. Your book is called, you know, Chase Darkness With Me. You've just mentioned the dark there again in relation to Michelle's death. Is your world a very dark world?
It's pretty dark, yeah. You know, I try to lighten it up as much as I can with just, you know, remembering the humanity about it all. You know, yeah, you're dealing with dark figures. But at the end of the day, I'm focusing more on the victims and trying to get the victims justice than I am, you know, these killers. I'm not a guy that really delves into the psychology of the killers or anything like that. You know, the only reason why we want to do that was to figure out maybe what their next moves might be. But really, you know, when you can put, you know, faces behind the numbers and really try and, you know, get that humanity and get their, you know, what made these people happy before their lives were taken. You can, it's sad, but you can get some brightness in there.
You said that depending on the police force or maybe the police person that you work with or give information to at any one time or in any one police station, that it can work well or it can work badly. Is there a level of resentment against you from certain individuals, and would that have had caused you difficulties in your own life?
Yeah, there's definitely a level of resentment in a sense where, you know, it's a combination of things. It's resentment. It's just me providing more work, you know, for a case that, like, wasn't even potentially on their radar that they weren't working for. And then I'm saying, hey, I've got this suspect, and I've got somebody saying this, you know. So, you know, we've got a lot of crimes over here in America. We've got 15,000 murders every year, 5,000 of them go unsolved. So, you know, you've got, at any given time, you've got 220,000 unsolved murders since 1980. So, you know, if you're going about your daily business and then somebody comes up and says, hey, I've got something for you, can you go run it down? A lot of times, you know, someone's going to be like, oh, but at the end of the day, that's the job that they chose. And they need to, you know, they need to run down those leads.
Absolutely.
You know, if you know, and not be so sort of territorial. And cops are territorial amongst themselves.
Yes.
Not to mention a citizen coming in and giving them information.
What about the families of the people, the victims, the murdered people? What's their reaction when you say to them, look, I've done a bit of work and I've been to the police and we've managed to catch the killer of your loved one. Is there kind of, do they take it out, or do they get angry at the police? Are they very grateful to you? Do they go through a series of emotions?
No, they're very grateful to me, absolutely.
Obviously, yeah.
And that's probably the one sort of payment that I get, is that, because I don't make any money on this, except for writing the book. But
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's like, it's, no, they are very grateful that somebody just took the time. And even the ones that that aren't solved, even the ones that I couldn't able to, you know, I still keep in contact with a lot of those people and, you know, talk to them over Facebook or whatever, just the fact that, you know, that somebody is listening and someone's caring and still caring about it.
Okay.
So yeah, that's very, you know, but there's definitely been some elation moments that I talk about in the book, with family members after something like that happens.
Now, this obviously is not what you do all day, every day, but there is a very, very good chance that something like this could consume one. So how do you break it down between doing this part and doing your day job that actually brings in the bread and butter?
Yes. Well, you know what? I mean, luckily my day job now is, you know, I work on television shows that are about crime. I'm on two podcasts, one called The Murder Squad, one called The First Degree, that are both talking about crime. So I've been able to, you know, for the first time in my life, been able to not have sort of like a job where I'm working at a newspaper and I have to cover other stories and things. But, you know, in terms of like how it doesn't consume me when I'm, you know, that's also another problem too, because I'm doing crime during the day and then I'm doing crime at night. So, you know, I try to just, you know, relax with, you know, kind of goofy things that mm-hmm. give me joy, like, you know, Disneyland and Star Wars and Harry Potter and that kind of stuff.
And watching Columbo, because he always gets his man.
Watching Columbo, that's right.
Talk to me then about the book. It's called Chase Darkness With Me. So do you go through a number of case studies, or do you take different aspects of what you do? You did say that you made reference in the book to, you know, how families of murder victims are related and, you know, their reaction to you and that. So how, is it compartmentalized, or what way is it done?
It's done really, it's part memoir, you know, so it starts with, you know, my motivations for doing it. And, obviously it starts with a crime first, my first solve and my motivations, you know, my childhood, how that was growing up, my relationship with my father. And then, you know, weaving in that, you know, the crimes that I have written about throughout my career, everything from, you know, one of the first cases I ever did that was unsolved was the only murder in New York City on 9/11, than the murders at the towers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a case that's still unsolved, but I walk people through that, walk people through all of these things. And then you kind of have this epiphany moment of, I can solve these things. And then you're kind of off to the races of me going after these other criminals, you know, having some success and having some failure. And then at the end of the book, there's an addendum where I sort of tell people, all right, if you want to do this, here's a step-by-step guide of how to do it.
And everything that you said there in reply to my question was pretty much standard, and I kind of expected that I would hear something like that, except for your relationship with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, if you don't mind me asking, about the relationship with your dad that has brought you to where you are with this?
You know, I don't think, you know, I recognize this when I was writing the book, in that, you know, my dad would come home. He was like my best friend. My dad would come home as a kid. He would come home. He would open the newspaper after painting houses all day, and he would turn on the news, and I would sit in between him and the television, kind of trying to get his attention while he was reading the news and watching TV. And it was the majority of those stories, especially in the late 70s New York, were about crime.
Okay.
And my father was, you know, he had been to prison. He was an ex-con. And he, you know, so he was constantly telling me stories about crime even then.
Right, okay.
So, you know, it didn't really, you didn't have to be a genius to figure out maybe that was one of the motivations for why I went into this field.
Okay. All right. Listen, that's good. All righty. Well, look, as I said, the name of the book is Chase Darkness With Me. It sounds fascinating. There are so many unsolved murders in the world, some of them high profile, some of them not so high profile. But it's obviously a wonderful thing that you are doing, and I wish you continued success with it. I wish you success with the business of the book, because that's an important part of it as well. And maybe we look forward to chatting to you again at some point in the future.
That'd be great, and I'll just definitely take a look at that court case that you're telling me about.
Do please, because it's a fascinating story that it doesn't have an ending, and you'll see a lot of questions, and you'll be looking for a lot of answers.
Sounds good. All right,
okay, thanks ever so much. That's Billy Jensen, the author of Chase Darkness with me.